President Trump said, he said that he would be back in some form or another. I don't know what that actually means, in some form that he was going to return. And so I thought it was interesting, you know, because the scripture tells us that many will come in the name of the Lord. Many shall come in his name, or many shall come throughout scripture, basically, and proclaim that they are the Christ, right? And so we know that, obviously, we know that Donald Trump is not the Christ or anything like that. But, well, you know, guys, it was something that he did say.
We love you. We will be back in some form.
I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning.
Like I said, they're selling the commemorative coin, and you can get your commemorative coin of the person, the only person in history who actually defeated COVID. Commemorative coins now for sale. Just in case you want to do that. And since we're on a roll, might as well. The Bible says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, I would say that these people who are saying that they're going to save the world are deceiving many people. Again, like I said, here's the Biden, you know, he just shuts down people's jobs and says he's saving souls.
Good afternoon. The recent actions of President Joe Biden, executive order halting the construction of the Keystone Pipeline, has affected Michaels, thousands of union trade members across the country, and hundreds of guys that specifically work in Wisconsin. To discuss this further, I'd like to introduce my congressman from the 1st District, Ryan Thile.
Thanks, man. On Joe Biden's first day in office, he killed thousands of American jobs. Joe Biden killed hundreds of Wisconsin jobs. On Joe Biden's first day in office, hundreds of Wisconsin workers got laid off of their job building private sector infrastructure.
The Bible lets us all know that, again, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And that's basically what's going on. People are mourning now.
Joe Biden needs to reconsider this action immediately. We need to have good paying jobs in the United States of America. We need to have good paying jobs here in Wisconsin. Not only is it impacting jobs, it has a huge impact on our foreign policy. We need to have a North American supply of oil and gas. Joe Biden's decision makes us more dependent on the Middle East, more dependent on Russia, more dependent on Venezuela for our supply of energy. I find his decision disgusting.
Yeah, that and then let's see, what are you saying over here, Helmut? You're saying 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles 4 and 10. You can be a Trump or a flat earther. Space Force, Operation Warp Speed, kill the idea. Could you imagine they're all against him? Shout from the rooftops, Earth is flat. Well, all right. Well, yeah. I'm not against anybody. I'm just, you know, I'm against unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. So anyway, Big Al, what are you saying? Amen. The people mourn. Yeah, definitely. We are mourning over this whole situation. But again, those people who voted for him, the ones that they love them the most, Joe Biden, I'm talking about. They are mourning right now because their jobs are gone. Just like that, he wiped out 1,000 jobs with a sweep of the pen.
Congressman Glenn Grothman.
Glenn? Thank you, Brian. As Brian said, it's kind of a rocky first week here for the Biden administration. I know a lot of the comments over the next few years are going to be around minimum wage jobs, but here you're talking about 10,000 jobs in the $80,000-$90,000 an hour range that are gone. Beyond that, you know, when we talk about trade, we talk about our relationship with China, our relationship with Japan or whatever, it's easy to forget, and they're almost dead even. Our number one and two trading partners in the world are Canada and Mexico, and it's so important that we have good relationships with both of them. Now, already a lot of this pipeline's been built. I'm sure Canada felt this was a done deal as part of their economic development, and on day one, Joe Biden comes out of the chute and pops Canada right in the face. I mean, you know, amateur night at the White House. I'll tell you that. I don't know who he's getting his ideas from. I thought I was at that speech the other day. I thought maybe Lady Gaga thought this would be a good idea.
And it was like he didn't even know what he was doing. He was just sitting there signing stuff that they had had a stack of things for him to sign. And he just went right into his office, didn't read anything. Just sign stuff. what a dip. What a drip. He's just gonna sign away people's lives without even thinking. He hasn't sit down and thought about the logistics of actually undoing a lot of things. Because when you undo one thing, you gotta redo another. You can't take anything away without giving something back. It's give and take. And obviously these people had their lives online, and all of these papers that he signed are affecting people's lives. But what does he think about that? You know, it's just they don't care. You're right, Jenny Rose, they just don't care. And, you know, I was just talking about to the kids today at school, Marie Antoinette, you know, the whole idea behind give them cake. I think she was a 14-year-old bride, and she went from 14 to around 30-something. And by that time, they killed her around 37 because, you know, of her ignorance of, you know, her narcissistic personality and ignorance and love for lavish things without regard to people. So I don't know. Yeah, I told you about that, though. Bobby Alexander, you saying Trump Tower is open for the National Guardsmen, but I'll tell you this. Who was the commander-in-chief of the military when all of those people got called back from various places and, you know, they were stationed in D.C. and throughout the United States? Who was the person who called them back? Who could? The only person that could have called them back was the commander-in-chief. That was Donald Trump. So, I mean, I would not be surprised that, you know, guardsmen were in the Trump Towers. I wouldn't be surprised at all because, again, they have to have this presence of the military because we have this Marie Antoinette situation being set up with these draconian practices, and definitely they're going to have the presence of the military for some of the stuff that they're planning to do next. If you think about it. Because how much can you push these people without there being, you know, backlash? That's my thought on it. So, you know, again, it's good to build up the military here, especially if you feel like you're threatened. And you feel threatened because they have a good reason to be angry with you because of some of the things that you're doing. I mean, if you were doing things and people loved you and that kind of thing, that would be another thing. But, you know, you making people irritated and getting them upset. That's a whole nother can of worms. Yeah, Belinda Brubeck is very scary. Sleep with your knees a nap. Yeah, it's scary. But he didn't even think. It was just like, you want me to sign here? And he just was signing stuff. Can I have my milk and cookies now? Did I do a good job? Yes, Mr. President. So where is my room at down here in this White House? I get lost. Right down here, Mr. President. Boy, it's crazy. And then, you know, I think it's all a psyop. I just don't believe any of it. But anyway, like I said, again, going back to scripture, for many will come in the name of Christ saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, that's Joe Biden's gonna save the soul of America, right? Biden and Trump say that they're fighting for America's soul. They're gonna save us. What does that mean? That is good. They're gonna save our souls. And then I see that all of this is like messianic, right? This is messianic, meaning it's supposed to be like the Messiah. Rather than asking for the Messiah's help, rather than asking for the guidance of God, rather than asking for God's plan and presence to be invoked over America and the world, these people have the audacity, the hubris to actually speak on behalf of God and say that they are going to be the people to save our souls. Biden, he says, we can and we must restore the soul of our nation. He's going to do that. He's going to save our souls.
Biden, to get your support and gain your confidence.
Yeah, he's going to save our souls. It's unbelievable, the hubris. Let me see here. Let me get out of here. Over here. You can't see it. There you go. Yeah. He said we must restore the soul of our nation. We don't have to give Donald Trump dark, petty, angry vision of America. I thought he was the one who was telling us it was going to be a dark winter. He was more scary in his speech. I didn't really like what he had to say. I sure didn't. But again, you know, that's me. That's my personal preference. But I would love to see Jesus. Oh my goodness, yeah. Trump says he's going to be king of Israel, the chosen one. That's what he talked about. I don't know. Everybody wants to be the Messiah. But you got to get your COVID coins. Don't forget to get your commemorative COVID coins now on sale by the one and only man who actually defeated COVID. He defeated COVID. Yeah. Well, now I was looking here. What's going to happen to us? Are we going to be able to get out of here? The Lord Jesus says that he's going to come and get us. He says, because you have kept my word and my patience. He's talking to his church. And he says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come on the whole world. Well, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I am ready. Let's go back and let's see what he has. Let's go back. Who is he talking about? He says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things. Jesus tells John, the revelator, to write these things down. And he does, of course. And then John writes these things. He says, these things said the Holy, he that is true, that has the keys of David. And he opens and no man can shut, and he shuts and no man can open. That's what the Lord is. He's talking to the church of Philadelphia. And he says, I know your works, and behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength. Talking to the, he has seven churches in Asia Minor. And at that particular time, his churches represented a microcosm of the kinds of churches that are out there. There are some churches that are lukewarm. There are some churches that are very hot. There are some churches that are just dead. There are some churches that are apostate. And then there are some churches that are really good churches, and that's what Jesus is showing. So the Philadelphia church was a good church. And he says, I will behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. He says, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So these persecution that was coming to the church of Philadelphia, Jesus promises that he will make the Jews who say that they are Jews but are not come and worship at their feet, instead of them having a high exalted position of supposed to be authorities and Jews and they wanted to be worshiped. Jesus said, no, I'm going to make them come and worship at your feet. Is that amazing? And he said, because you kept my word of my patience, and I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come on the whole world, all the world. Right now, all the world is under temptation, and an hour of temptation is really coming. It's coming, this hour of temptation. This is what the Lord is saying. So this is again to which is, which was, which is, and which is to come. So we can expect that a little bit of this, or most of this, is really to us today, because it's which is to come. And there is a temptation that will come on the whole world, all the world. I don't know of any other time in history when all the world has been tempted except today. Which shall come on all world and try them that dwell on the earth. And that's what's going on now. So there's a great temptation coming, a tribulation. And he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which you have, that no man take your crown. So you got to hold on. Don't let anybody take your crown. You got to hold on. Taking your crown means to be tempted, to be led away into the world. Jesus says, make sure that you hold on to your faith. Hold fast to your confession. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which you have. Don't let no one take your crown. Keep your crown. Because you're beautiful. You've done what you were supposed to do. You were my faithful servant. Look what he says. Him who that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write on him the name of my God. Revelation 3:12. The new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear, which the Spirit says to the churches, Revelation 3:13. Okay, so that's what the Lord actually was saying there. So that was the church of Philadelphia, right? Let's go back. So anyway, he that overcomes, I will make him a pillar, right? That's what's going to happen. We're going to be a pillar. Or those who actually, hold fast to the confession of the faith of the Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. So what you have to do is basically hold on. Are you guys holding on? Or are you not holding on? Are you, you know, giving up? Don't give up. Because the Lord says, behold, I know your works. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you. If you hold on, if you hold on. But if you don't, you know, if you get locked up in this world, definitely you'll be lost forever. So make sure that you hold on to your faith in Jesus. Let's see here. Let me see. What else here? Let me see if I think I got everything that I was going to talk about. Oh, here. There, you know, it's one more thing. Again, with the Trump thing here, remember the peace accord is to be signed and everything by Donald Trump. And that was, again, a lot of negotiation with various different leaders around Israel to make sure that they had peace. So, you know, again, as we look in the scriptures, we find that Donald Trump is like a messianic kind of person. And I'm not really saying that for real. I'm just saying that in the sense that what they believe in, the cult that they're in, believes and are pushing this whole idea of a false kind of Christ in order to deceive many. You know, the whole idea behind having the dream and then quite frankly being the second coming of Christ. The whole idea behind, you know, going away and coming back, signing peace deals, doing some stuff that no other person has done, saving the soul of America, all of this stuff these leaders want us to believe. And it's all based upon a bunch of malarkey, you know, the fact that, I mean, you know, that he went to the hospital and came out in 3 days. You know, it just, you know, calling himself the chosen one, all of that over the top talk, just it's baseless. But saying I'm coming back, I'm gonna return. You'd have to be a madman to be thinking all of this stuff. These people are saying these, using these terms. It's madness. It's nothing but pure madness. In my opinion, that's, you know, I'm just saying that it's just crazy. But Jesus said, again, if you hold on, I will save you from the hour of temptation that should come upon the whole earth, right? So I'm kind of, guys, I don't know. I'm looking for that ride to get out of here. Let me see. I'm looking at something here. There it is. Let me pull it back up here. Revelation 9, because you have, Revelation 3 and 10, since you have kept my commands and endured patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial or temptation that is going to come upon the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I think most of us are already being tested. You know, with the testing of the inhabitants of the earth. Yeah, Big Al, he was never sick, I know. The testing of the inhabitants of the earth is right now, I think. But I think that there's going to be a greater testing coming, and it's just going to get worse. And there's going to be an hour of trial that comes on the whole earth, right? And right now, people are willingly going and getting this juice shot up in them, and they're like, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they can keep doing it, see the results of people getting sick, and still keep on distributing this stuff. But, you know, of course, that's, you know, I can't really say what I'm talking about, but you know what I am. Fill in the lines. So I think that might be the test, because there's going to be a lockdown like from hell that's coming. And you guys need to have some sort of supplies in your house. Make sure you fill your pantries up. And get you some sort of way of heating your house, and some sort of, get you some candles and some other things, and using some lights. Because again, these things are going to happen. They're just all going to happen. And so if this is not the time, we're leading up to it, and this is a trial run, it could be just a trial run, and God could raise up champions, and then they could defeat the enemy, and we could have a reset in terms of people being more respectful and that kind of thing after the war. But then again, if this is the end, if this is the main end, then you really do need to be ready for Jesus' return, because he's going to come back. Whether or not he comes back, you know, whether or not he comes back in, well, you know, whether or not he comes back at the end after the trumpet is blown for the last day, where according to the situation in Matthew, it tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that he's going to return with the trump of God. There's a trumpet going to be blown. And so it says here, the signs of the Son of Man in heaven will be seen by everyone at that particular time. And then he will descend from heaven riding on the great white horse. That's according to Revelation 19:11. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, it seems that he's going to, every eye will see him. And then also in Jude 14 and 15, there's not much to that. It says Christ will be followed by a great army that would also be seen in Revelation 19:14. So he's going to come with a great army. Scripture lets us know that Christ will come in great power and great glory. That's in Mark chapter 20, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And then here's what Jesus will do once he comes back. He will be on the Mount of Olives. That would be Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3 and 5. So if he comes back to the Mount of Olives at that particular time, gathers his elect, and then they all go into the 1,000-year reign, then it would not make sense when he said that I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also, and then I will return. If I said I was going away, I will return to gather you unto myself. So it doesn't make sense that he's going to set up his 1,000-year reign on the earth when he promised that we would be in heaven in those mansions that he had developed. So I'm thinking that there's going to be two events, that there's a possibility of, again, event one where there's a catching away and the saints are carried up so that they can attend the marriage supper of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus in heaven. And then following that, then when he comes back, he will bring all of his saints with him and they will crush the enemy. Now, a Bible lets us know that Jesus will be the one who actually defeats everyone. He'll be undefeatable. And Satan and all of his minions will actually gather together to try to defeat Christ. The Bible lets us know that at that particular time, the whole earth will mourn when they see him. So that's what's going to happen. And so when that happens, then there's going to be that battle, and then the Satan is thrown into the pit, and then the thousand-year reign starts with Jesus on the earth and all of the Israel. The true Israel will be gathered from the four winds, the gathering of the Israel. And so that we do see evidence of that, because the Bible does tell us that there will be a gathering of Israel, a gathering. And a lot of this stuff, you know, I know you think it's symbolic, but I think it's really, really literal. Just like, you know, the earth and the shape of the earth. I think it's just as literal as that. That's my opinion. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Just some thoughts that I had tonight. Looked at some things here. It was just really interesting to see all of this stuff unfolding. Oh, I don't know what Biden's going to do. Apparently, it's going to be the opposite of what Christ would do. But he says he's going to save the souls of America, and his salvation is probably going to be damnation. Let's pray for Jesus to come back soon. Lord Jesus, we pray for you to come back quickly, defeat our enemies, and forgive our sins. Help us, Lord, to get through this time of testing. And Father, we pray that you would, Father, not leave us and pass us by. Should you decide to come even tonight, we pray it in Jesus' name. Well, remember until next time that Jesus is our light, the light of the world, the only truth that we ever had. Isn't it interesting that everything now comes down to good versus evil, light versus darkness, and truth versus lies, and Christ as the reigning king versus Satan? Remember that Jesus is the light of the world and the truth. She'll set you free. God bless.